Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
It's time for Seminole Headlines, featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, Managing Editor Ira Schofel, and Senior Writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
Hour number two, headliner questions, and away we go. This hour brought to you by our friends at Birch Orthodontics.
Ride or die.
Yeah, ride or die. I mentioned it last week. Saw Dr. Birch at the baseball fields. Mm-hmm. Her kid plays in the same league as mine. And she was in good spirits, just like we all were for hour number one, because Florida State's won two in a row, probably going to win three in a row.
Rivals don't look great.
Things are falling apart all around the state.
Yeah.
Miami and Florida. It's been fun to sit back and watch their displeasure on Saturdays.
She takes some particular pride when Florida is struggling because one of her degrees may be from that.
The dental. Yeah.
When you look at if you need orthodontic help, Birch Orthodontics is the place. BirchOrthodontics.com is the website. They have free consultations. They do tremendous work. All of our kids, our kids have great smiles. Brady's going to get his, at some point. He's going to have to get it in Atlanta.
If I ever make him smile.
If you don't jerk him from being in playoff games, the game is on the line.
It didn't look like that cool an ending, I'll be honest with you. It didn't look like it was that much
amazing.
Fun.
But,
Virtualorthodontics.com.
Yes, you can get a free consultation. They've got payment plans, the best work in the business, and you won't be – and it's not just kids. A lot of adults need orthodontic work as well, and they'll be happy to take care of you.
So Thomas writes right off the bat, Facebook question here, Corey.
Okay.
Jeff thinks my questions are redundant or not appropriate. So Corey and Ira, just Corey and Ira.
Okay.
I'm pleasantly surprised this season, knowing what it is and what to expect, enjoying the climb minus Jacksonville State, obviously. I feel we need better coaching/recruiting in some position groups. Would Manny Diaz be a fit as a linebacker coach? Ira and Corey, you're the glue that holds headlines together. Mm. Please keep up the good work.
I would say I'm the glue. Otherwise, it's just Sunday smash.
Yeah.
nobody needs that. He's got connections, right? It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
You just never know how somebody goes from a head coach to being a position coach.
Adam Fuller theoretically be his boss. I don't know that you handle that well when you've been a head coach for like 3 or 4 years.
I think you just want a job.
And you've been a DC for a number of years before that. I don't know that then you're just a position coach the very next year.
He's also, how many former Miami head coaches do you need on the staff?
That's true.
He's got Randy Shannon.
But he is a Florida State graduate, so man, he could come home. Where he's longed to be.
I mean, I wouldn't mind that as a position coach.
Yeah,
necessarily.
I wouldn't mind it. No,
you got to figure he's got some connections in the state.
They currently still have a position coach at linebackers, so we'll see. What happens? It's funny. We did that roundtable at War Chant talking about the future, and all of us said, man, if they continue to improve on defense, you could see them bringing Adam Fuller back, and maybe make a change, maybe not. We'll see on the staff. But I feel the first two or three responses were like, oh, hell no. We need a new defensive coordinator.
I'm all right with Adam right now. I think the coordination has been there. Now, I might be in favor.
They can play better.
They can play better, but I also might be in favor of some changes within the staff that don't involve Adam Fuller right now. Now, Adam, this is actually an important second half of the season.
You know what I mean?
For his career.
Yeah, it's really important. By the way, Thomas added to his own question at the end here. If you don't believe me, you can look at it. Actually, Jeff, I'd very much appreciate your take as well. Now, my thought is that he just couldn't deal with the guilt.
No,
this probably was several hours later.
He was going for the comedic effect.
Just playing around. It's okay. I'm not hurt.
But we don't need to hear from you.
I get it. I'm just letting you know. Stuart writes, gentlemen, I'm now the proud dad of twins. Mm. Oh, well, congratulations.
There you go. We'll start right up there.
Yeah, there you go. Good job, Stuart.
Man, that's going to be a nightmare, Stuart.
He said a little girl and a little boy. I didn't even have to miss the Braves 2 walk-off wins, Corey. Although I did have to tell my wife and the doctor to keep it down during the bottom of the ninth in game 1.
That's right.
No real question. Just wanted us to know, so that's good. That's
awesome,
double,
Stuart, man.
Double the blessings.
Good work, buddy.
John writes, what up, players? John from Nebraska. It's been a minute since I've reached out. Don't want to jinx it, but this could be the turn. Turning point? Yeah, okay. So he wrote something that, again, turning point for us. I truly believe that Norvell and that the 2022 class is the deal that will tell college football that FSU is coming back. If we beat Clemson, How long till we're back in the New Year's Six?
I mean, 5 weeks. If you beat Clemson, you still got a shot at the Orange Bowl, don't you? If you finish 8-4, you could get to the Orange Bowl. You're definitely above Shreveport if you win out.
Well, that's play your way out of Shreveport.
Yeah.
Play your way into
Shreveport and then get on up out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the last couple games.
We're just renting. We're not buying.
Shreveport's like the basement. That's your worst option.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, I still think they're probably a couple years away from being at that level to even compete for titles. I mean,
I know, but like Pitt could be going to New Year's Six. Probably will. Yeah. Pitt or NC State might be. NC State's going to be playing for the ACC championship. They have a good shot of it.
Pitt, right. War.
I mean, it can happen kind of quickly. They're not going to win a national championship. They're not. I'm a Georgia alum. I'm not a huge fan. I'm not like a diehard dog, but watching that team on defense isn't like anything I've seen here in a good long while.
Oh, no. You got to go back to 2013.
If Kentucky was up 7, like midway through the fourth, would you guys have left?
Well, yeah, I don't want to see this anymore.
I can't be here for this.
I got to get down to the Braves game.
So I can leave early. Blair wants to know, do you guys think Manny makes it through the season? If he does get fired between now and the offseason, who do you not want to see them hire?
I would say, who do they have?
First of all, he'll make it through the season.
I don't know about that.
Well, there's no reason to fire him.
We are at a place that did that.
I know.
And it turned out that there was a good reason because they went and won some games after he left. Like, if you know you're going to fire him anyway.
Miami is not turning around and winning some games.
No, I know, but if you know you're going to fire him anyway, why delay it? Why not get your name out there for the search firms to charge you $250,000 to go tell you, hey, Mel Tucker says thanks, but no thanks.
I actually don't think they're going to fire him. Now,
who do they play? I don't know their schedule.
Admittedly, if they lose out, I suppose that they could fire him. But I don't think they want to fire him. It's $8 million they got to pay him to walk away.
Yeah, man, but that's going in a bad direction.
It's certainly not going well, but I guess I'll go back to a point Corey used to make all the time, and that is you can't win at Miami.
That's right, baby. That's right. I'm telling you.
Well, they do have a weird situation. I mean, Kirk Herbstreit had his thing a few weeks ago where he basically called out the administration that they don't really care about football.
They don't care about football.
Oh, man. So, Miami's got NC State this weekend.
That's a loss. That's a bad loss.
They're at Pittsburgh.
That's a loss.
The next weekend.
That's a loss.
Then they have Georgia Tech at home.
Well, that could be a loss.
And then Florida State.
So, they're looking at they're 2-4.
They're 2-4. They're probably going to be 2-6 going into that Georgia Tech game. So, I mean, if you get housed at Pitt,
let me ask you,
there's
this.
A good chance they say thanks, Manny, but this is over.
All right, I rescind what I said. There is a chance. I don't think they want to do that, but I'll concede there's a chance.
And then you hire him before you play Miami.
Well,
as a quality control assistant, and you win that game by 50 points.
You're probably going to hire Mark Stoops. Are you not? If you're Miami,
I'd run
from Kentucky because you're not going to do better than you're doing right now.
I think he's cool where he is at Kentucky.
No, man, you would take the Miami job if you're Mark Stoops, and he has experience recruiting down there.
No, he does.
No, that's actually a smart job for him to take. You, come on.
No, it's not.
Kentucky.
He can get
what job? Well, he's not going to USC, so name the job he's going to get.
Yeah,
what
but the whole, you know,
what if Norvell turns it around, wins 8 games here this year, wins 11 next year, and goes off to the Titans? Mark Stoops could wait out for this job. This job is much easier than Miami.
So when Kentucky goes 6-6 and 5-7 the next 2 years.
But he's proven what he is, though. Right. You know what I mean? I think he's the...
But what we heard at the time was, I think Mark Stoops has a higher opinion of himself than maybe we do. Because I think what we heard last time...
I think he's a good coach.
I do, too. But what we heard last time was when Florida State and he talked, when they even had conversations, he had a lot of demands that he wanted... Like, in terms of infrastructure and things in the program, like, for him to even consider it. And I think that's where things fell apart. And Florida State was like, okay, well, look, man, you're not that guy. You're not Bob Stoops.
Yeah.
But if that was the approach he took then, if he takes that approach with Miami, what are they going to do? They're not going to promise him.
Well, any coach that is going to consider Miami does have to sit down, obviously, with that administration and say, like, how committed are we to winning games?
Well, and that's the thing is, like, if you look over the last 10 years, what's the better program, Kentucky or Miami? Because it ain't by much difference either way. There's the same program with the same records every year. One, you get to get paid more money, and there's no real expectations. And, you could sneak up and have a 9-win season, and people are cool with that. In Miami, it's a coach killer, man. They just churn these guys out every 4 years, and you're done. Al Golden?
They have the turnover chain.
They do have the turnover. Would he keep that? Would he keep that?
I doubt it. But I would say that I do think Miami's ceiling is much greater than Kentucky's.
Right.
Sure. But I Maybe.
I think it is.
I think
the right guy could turn that into a 10-11 win.
Especially if Tennessee is turning it around, they're going to have a hard time not being the fourth team in that division.
Yeah. Mike writes, and I like this because it reminds me that there are some young listeners out there who forget that Florida State was this kind of dynamic and dynastic and dominant. What end-of-game magic rabbit does Clemson have that we don't? Do teams just choke because they see it's Clemson? Did we possess that power in the 90s? Oh, yes.
Well, there weren't a lot of close games in the 90s.
I was just about to say, first of all, there weren't a lot of close games. But secondly, Florida State had an advantage getting off the bus. People saw the Garnet and Gold, saw those guys, and absolutely found themselves intimidated. And they had good reason to be, because Florida State had better players. Clemson still has better players than almost every team they're playing. They didn't have better players than Georgia this year. Other than that, they've had better players than every team they played this year. So you feel that when you're on the field with a guy who's bigger, stronger, faster than you, and you know you have to overachieve. But I mean,
they don't feel it for the first 59 minutes. They're right in the game, and then you drop a snap.
Yeah,
when you're going in to score,
it means a hell of a lot more to the team that's a 20-point, 30-point underdog to try to get that win. Yes, they press. Anybody who's a huge underdog, when the moment is upon them, realizes, oh my God, this impossible dream could come true, and they sometimes
that wasn't what you were saying. I do believe they press. They're like, oh God, we're about to do this. Yeah. We can do this. Oh, it's right here.
No, I think they press,
but I don't think. It doesn't appear to me that in the first quarter of these games, these teams are overwhelmed by Clemson.
No, anymore. they take the field knowing they're going to have to play at a certain level. They want to pull off the upset. They're sky high emotionally, and Clemson is failing to let them understand that they're not going to be able to compete. I hate when good teams – I don't care about Clemson, so obviously I hope they lose five games. But when Florida State used to sleepwalk, even towards the end with Jimbo, it would drive me nuts, because you'd go position by position. Florida State was better than everybody. And you can still do that with Clemson outside of the interior of the offensive line. So there's something else going on there. And I do think that, yes, probably midway through the second quarter, the team that's the underdog is like, oh, all right, well, they're not going to take it. I mean, we got a chance to win the game.
Yeah, and then they get some real momentum, and then they pee on themselves at the end. Even NC State misses the flipping
NC State has a history of missing easy kicks against
Clemson.
Yeah,
and then Boston College is going in to score, and he drops the stupid snap. And then Syracuse, Babers has some god-awful clock management.
That's who he is. There's nothing new there.
And you miss a kick at home. Like they could be, whatever they are, they're 5-2. They're really close to having a losing record right now, or being at least 3-4.
And that's the point he's making.
It's like the 2014 Florida State team.
Oh, yeah. Every game came
down to the last 5 minutes.
God, if you were not watching nationally, and certainly we heard it in Chris Fowler's voice, the devastation. If you were watching Florida State that year, in particular, let's say the Louisville game, you'd be like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Dude throws a pick and then makes the tackle and forces a fumble.
Yeah,
that was nice.
Down 21-7 or whatever.
that was the ball game.
But I will say that the difference to me in the 14 FSU team is at the end of games, it felt like they went and won the games. They went and made plays.
It was a matter of once the light came on.
Yeah,
Once they decided to try.
But like the Miami game, like they get a lucky break with a deflected pass to Carlos for a touchdown. But at the end of the game, you have Dalvin Cook scoring the go ahead touchdown.
Oh yeah,
and Jalen Ramsey intercepting the pass to clinch it. I mean, those were players making plays. I hope this kid misses the field goal. That didn't really happen much.
But Miami did have a fumble from their tight end, which turned the game around. Remember that? It was a big play. He's going down for a 25-yard, and he fumbles. You're like, that could be perceived as a choke. I mean, there were any number of moments where Florida State would go, whew, we'll take that, and then they would take it and run with it. Better teams usually give enough chances, they'll win the game. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
Game week again, gentlemen. One game at a time. Well, thank you, Gator Kirk. One game at a time, indeed. Do you all think a lot of fans / media are getting over their skis about total wins given the recent success of the team? Beat UMass, go Noles. No, I think it's a combination. I'll start up. It's a combination with the fact that they've won two games straight, and everybody around them, as we've well documented on today's show, are falling to pieces. Miami looks like they're a mess. They're on the schedule. Boston College, quarterback went down. They haven't been the same on offense. Defense is starting to look worn down. They're on the schedule. Clemson looks bad every time you turn on the TV and watch them. Are they better than Florida State? Well, talent-wise, yes. Are they playing that way? Defensively, other than that, though, they really look like they're going to struggle against almost everybody, and that will only heighten our interest when they lose this weekend, if in fact they do, to Pitt. They're on the schedule. Florida just got done losing to an LSU team who's all but quit on Ed Orgeron, but didn't on that day, and they turned it over four times. Now, I don't like Florida State's chances against Florida, but they don't look good right now. They're on the schedule. You know,
but the other part of it is, Florida State, the two of the main reasons we thought they were going to be better this year was we did think the offensive line was going to be better. We thought the quarterback play was going to be much better. Well, then the offensive line got banged up and the quarterback play was not any good.
Yeah.
So, but now it seems to be a lot better. Now, if that changes, if Jordan Travis is not available, or if he goes back and looks like maybe he did a year ago, then your expectations change. But with the offensive line healthier and him playing the way he has, I mean, there's reason to be optimistic.
Thomas says, 2 weeks ago, Corey possibly saved the program with his elite question to Mike Norvell.
Yeah.
But then this past weekend, he takes an unofficial to Georgia. Should we be concerned about his commitment to covering Florida State athletics?
Did you communicate it? Would you communicate to Norvell or to Gene?
Both. But, yeah, I texted Norvell and was like, you're going to hear some things. I just want to get you out ahead of this. I'm at my alma mater. It's my alma mater. It's my first time back here in 24 years. I'm not interested in going to the Rivals Georgia site. I'm staying here at War Chant.
I could talk to Rodney DeBolsi for you.
I'm happy where I'm at. Just want to put all the. I want to squash all those rumors right now. Yeah. I'm happy
where
I'm at.
Any more visits planned to go anywhere else?
Look, man, we'll see. I'm not ruling anything out.
You should have gone IG Live that night.
Yeah,
that's right, guys. It was awesome, but no, I'm a no. I'm a no. I'm a War Chanter. I'm a War Chanter for life.
Chuck followed up by saying he's pretty certain Corey will be at a high school game this Friday night where, during an interview, he will reaffirm his staunch commitment to covering Noles.
Again, like I said, Brady spotted Travis Hunter and was like, I'm going to go tell him to come to Tallahassee. I'm going to say my dad works for Florida State and I can't wait to watch you in Tallahassee. I'm like, you're not going to say anything. Stay here and drink your soda.
He should have told him to get his ass out of that stadium.
What are you doing, Travis?
Get home.
Yeah. Sewanee's that way.
Miles writes, fellas, with top 20 hoops set to resume, I always look forward to the reports from the sand pits, yes. However, my question is, has Ngom been working on the jugs machine and sleeping on the leg press? I can't read the rest, but that's really good.
Ngom in 2022, I told you guys.
Miles says he can't deal with him fumbling about the court again.
I agree.
This has been the battle between Ira and I. Ira assured me last year when I said stop throwing the ball into the post in Ngom because he has stone hands that I needed to back off because this was going to be his big
year.
Didn't
he miss a dunk against Michigan?
Well, he fumbled everything. Every time the ball was anywhere near him.
But I feel like that was the crescendo of Ira's getting the hate tweets.
Every time it happened, I would text Ira. I'd be like, and he'd be like, dude.
It wasn't like they were getting a lot of open looks in that game. They finally got one in the 7-foot-1 guy couldn't get it over the front of the rim and missed the dunk. Hey, but they develop guys like Tanner
Ngom. That's my point.
They develop guys like that.
I agreed with you on that. Yeah. They
like
do.
Ojo.
I just thought this was a Herculean task to develop.
Well, remember Ojo. Ojo looked like he didn't. He should not be playing basketball.
Right. By the end
of his career, he was a solid player and their best free throw shooter, legitimately, which is insanity.
And
he led them in free throw shooting.
If you see Ngom shoot the basketball, like he's actually a good free throw shooter.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
so
it looks really
that
smooth.
Makes me think he's got hand talent. He can catch a basketball.
He might be a pick and pop five.
Did I tell you that I'm rooting for him? Even though it would mean I would lose the debate with you.
I would be happy if you
did. But did I tell you that I was rooting for him? Because Bryce and Brady both went to the Leonard Hamilton basketball camp, and Ngom played one-on-one with Bryce.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
he's a nice really kid. Cool. And when I picked up Bryce that day, he was like over the moon about Ngom.
So now, Bryce,
I can't say anything bad about Ngom
anymore. Did
Bryce
turn him over?
No, Bryce beat him. Bryce beat him 11-8.
Yeah, no. Yeah. He's got a lot of, long way to go. But, no, it was great. And he got cool. in the car. And actually, I walked in and saw the last 2 points or the 2 blocks. And then, but Bryce said he thought he was a nice kid.
It is amazing. It really is amazing what they can do with some of these big guys that look. Because they are projects. The great 7-footers that are around this world don't end up at Florida State as freshmen. They're at other places. Like
right.
these, Joel Embiid isn't coming to Tallahassee. He's in Lawrence.
I'm looking for the Stan Jones bump.
But yeah, he could get a huge bump. He could go from rolling your eyes when he comes into the game to being like, all right, man, those were 8 good minutes by Ngom.
Take that all day.
Yeah, and then next year it might be 15 minutes or whatever.
Well, like, he's done.
Oh, what? This is last year? Yeah. Tanner, we're going to need a big jump. I thought he was younger than that. We're going to need a big jump out of you, buddy.
Very big jump. Did you gentlemen, write Spencer, do any post-game presser watching this past weekend? On a scale of 1 to a Christmas tree by the side of the road, how much do you believe Jimbo when you hear him say he's happy at Texas A&M? Deja vu. And which Jimbo lie did you love the most? Go Noles. Thankful to have Coach Mike Norvell.
The
Burt Reed. We teach him to drop it. That's
yeah,
the
yeah,
best,
we work on that.
That's the best.
We work on that. If you're not going to get out of bounds, to drop the pass.
Yeah, that's my favorite lie of all time.
Burt did it incredibly well.
Yeah.
I liked it in Jimbo's, when he was saying how happy he was at A&M, that he mentioned he had 2 ranches.
And he also, the first thing he talked about was the contract.
Well,
you got a great contract.
We got a great contract.
You guys are
spending,
you guys are putting poor money in my charity.
Yeah.
You guys are great.
Yeah.
I love you people.
I got 2 ranches out here. I can hunt. It's like, all right. But I do, look, man, Jimbo, I think Jimbo's one of those dudes that's never going to be happy, right? Like, I don't think football coaches are really wired like that anyway. But what could he want that he doesn't have?
No,
the
it's
only
not
thing,
about that.
Yeah, the only thing to me would be that what's changed to some degree also is that with Texas coming to the SEC, now he's got to deal with Texas in recruiting.
And they'll always be second fiddle to Texas.
And they had the SEC card to play, but now they don't have that anymore. And then the LSU situation, you've got that whole state, and it's an awesome state.
And he loves
the
program.
Like, even with the way, the first time LSU came up when he was here, he said some things like, I'm happy here, that he got his new contract. But it was never as adamant as it was yesterday. Was almost as if, it was almost, not quite, Saban with the Dolphins saying, I'm not going to Alabama. So if he left LSU, which I'm not saying left for LSU, which he might, I don't know, that would be, I mean,
he'd be stunning at all.
But I think those A&M fans would be like, what?
Well, because
what
they're not
about
paying
all
attention,
this?
Man.
What about
they're
all this?
Yeah, they're not paying attention. I wouldn't be stunned at all. He has loved LSU for a long time. And when he talks about those fans and that community and that program, there's like he's starry-eyed. He's starry-eyed.
And he doesn't
he's
have
never
to deal with
be, them. And also, he doesn't have to deal with those losers at A&M who are profoundly
disturbed
people.
The yell thing? Have you seen the yell thing they do?
It's very, very problematic.
It's not, like, I knew they had yell leaders. They don't have, like, female cheerleaders. But they do the pep rally, the yell practice.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Those guys do this stuff. Like, they do this stuff.
Well,
kids can do this. Like, it's part of the lore because the first guy that did it, his shirt was falling off. So that's what they do. It's a tradition.
I wanted to see Jimbo wearing the overalls doing the
thing. I thought he should have made his declaration.
By doing that.
Doing that dance.
But doing the kick and the leg.
But what is that? What
arm.
Is that?
So the first guy that did the yell practice, his shirt kept falling off. So he would
real,
pull it.
What do you mean, 100 years ago? Yes. What are you talking about?
Every year, apparently, whatever year you are in school, you have a different gesture that's your class's gesture.
But it was
so theirs is to shoot their knee up in the air like a dumbass?
His legs was coming, his pants were falling down, and the other guy, his overall
I can't
kept
possibly
falling
believe.
Down.
It's like choreographed. It's
but,
like
yeah.
A,
yeah,
it's,
but no, it was awful. And the whole rah-rah, we're going to beat so-and-so is crazy. But what I thought was the fans in the stands – how do they not go, this is ridiculous?
No, they love it.
What are we
they
doing?
They love it.
Stephanie went there.
How does somebody
for
not
grad,
turn and
grad
say,
school.
"What? This is ridiculous. Yeah. We look like the biggest fools on the planet.
There's no way they can take recruits to that, right?
Oh, my
because
God.
Because the recruits would be like, I'm not going to be
hills.
Around this. This is a cult.
It
this
feels,
is weird.
It feels a bit like, yes. Like,
well,
like
I mean,
an unfortunate
you think
sort
Jimbo
of.
Jimbo wouldn't like that? You know what I mean? Like most coaches would. They're egomaniacs anyway. He's got his own cult that
it feels,
slaps themselves and kicks up.
It felt very uncomfortable.
It's really bizarre. It's really weird. It's creepy,
man. If you haven't seen it, if you follow me on Twitter, I did tweet it yesterday because I was saying that Jimbo should have reenacted that.
I saw it.
That.
I cracked up. I clicked on it originally because I was like, I got to see this thing. I don't know what everybody's talking about.
What's great about it is no matter how many times it's been out there, and it's been out there a lot, and there's invariably a ton of people who have never seen it before, and the response is always, what the
Stunning.
Yeah. Like,
stunning.
It's unbelievable.
I thought the camera was going to pan back and there'd be three burning crosses. I really, I was like, that's, look, that's what they're at. That's what I thought for sure was happening.
It is, a creep factor
it
of 100.
Run for the hills.
Yeah, it's like,
for
you
your
can't
life.
Be around.
Run for your life.
This is not safe. This is not safe.
No.
This is not a safe space.
No.
That guy keeps smacking his shoulder.
Stranger
kicking
danger.
Up.
Run.
I mean, it's nuts.
I would, imagine being a recruit.
Oh, man.
You would flee.
I would. Oh, let's go. What are we doing? This was a mistake. I mean, within 30 seconds.
And the problem is, if you're armed and you take out your gun, well, they're all armed too.
Oh,
it's Texas.
They all start swaying as they pull out their guns. Next thing you know, no, man.
Even the imposter Mexican kicker would have been like, "All right, I can't do this. Here's my VIP pass.
This is awful. I'm out." Sonal Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment. How you doing there, podcasters? Good. Good to hear it. Listen, if you're wondering. For a good place to eat, watch a game, have a cold beer, enjoy a lot of choices, we suggest Horizons Bar and Grill.
Maybe even run into us.
You and I especially.
Yes.
I'm there once a week, I think. When I'm in town, I'm there. Stephanie and I are there. Great place. Cold beer, hot women, everything you want in a, I probably shouldn't have said that.
No, it's okay.
Hot beer and cold women at
whatever
some bars.
You're into.
I like the good-looking ladies, too. That's
sure,
all right.
But
even if that's not your thing, I'll be there. I'm a good-looking guy.
And we would all agree, great food. Legitimately
good food.
The
most important part of this ad is the great food.
It's great food. They got TV, sports bar. They got the vibe, but beer, food, everything you could want. And most importantly, again, other than the food, is that there is at least, I'd say, a 35% chance one of us would be there.
And you get the mac and cheese bites.
And you can get those shrimp tacos, which are the king. You've gotten healthy on me lately.
I eat the hummus.
Who eats
really
that?
Good.
He does. At Horizons
Bar
and Grill.
I didn't know I like hummus. Maybe I don't, but Horizons got some great hummus.
But you look for them on their website. You can see their happy hour specials. Just a great place to hang out. And it's if you want to like a little upscale dinner, you can go in there for that as well. It's at Bannerman Crossing at the... right off of Thomasville Road and Bannerman up there on the Northeast Tallahassee.
Tell them Headlines sent you.
Well, the important thing is support the people who help support Seminole Headlines. That's Horizons Bar and Grill. And thanks for listening to the podcast.
Woo!
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Given Jeff's feelings, this is a Twitter question, Ira, Jeff's feelings on Shade Tree, have there been conversations with Gene on budget numbers for an NIL deal to have Junior, on as a weekly guest for the JCS, and if he commits to FSU, well, I would like you to present that to Gene.
To Gene.
Yeah.
Make sure Gene's fully invested.
Understand.
Well, if he listens to this show, he knows that we have some ideas about getting kids on campus.
Yeah. Well, so. I mean, we're big fans. And by the way, that would really be a good get, just as an aside. Not just, I mean, on the show, but like
that would be cool
FSU
to have
to get the guy.
Hey,
Marvin Jones Jr. here, and just you would just ask him about his dad the whole time.
Well, thing
like,
is,
did you ever see the 91 game against
what about that
Clemson?
Time your dad? Yeah.
But everybody, over again. But like, seriously, though, everybody talks about the commits. Like, can they hold on to Travis Hunter? Can they hold on to A.J. Duffy? Well, what about these guys that are still out there, like Marvin Jones Jr.?
Mm-hmm.
And
if
you start getting a few of those.
Oh, that's a nice big yes right there. Let's go.
Guys that, man.
In fact.
Can't all go to Alabama.
Right.
Come on, Marvin. Let's get Junior to say yes right now. It'll help sway everybody who's like kind of maybe
And you're going to have a chance to play and play early. It's Jermaine Johnson's not going to be here next year.
You think if the staff – we're given the option to guarantee a 3-3 finish over the back half of the schedule, but no opportunity to play the games and have a chance of maybe upsetting, say, Clemson, NC State, or Florida to get bowl eligible, they would take it.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
To be 5-7, that means a win over NC State.
Yeah.
And to be 5-7,
I mean, they're competitors.
I know, a win over Miami, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a win over Miami.
So, but they're competitors, so they would say no.
But
I think if you're being reasonable, like, would we want that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd take 5-7 right now.
I think there's a feeling on that staff that they can do really well in the second half of the season.
I bet they thought they'd beat Jacksonville State, too.
That's fair.
So I'm just going to go with the 5-7.
That's a fair point.
I think I'm going to go with 5-7 and roll on. Happy Walt Bell homecoming week, guys.
It's big.
Welcome back, Walt.
Yeah.
And Coach Pimp.
more likely to have a complete meltdown in a press conference slash interview before season's end? Dabo, Dan Mullen, or Manny Diaz?
I think if Mullen gets mollywopped by Georgia.
Mollywopped.
That's a good word, right? Is that a word?
Did you make it up?
Sure.
I think so.
No, I never heard of it, but I like it.
I feel like that's that has the potential to be like
he seems agitated already.
Yeah, well, he's constantly agitated.
Well, and he was asked. I saw a reporter asked him about the defense, and he did not like that question at all. Even though it's pretty fair to ask a question about the defense that gives up almost 300 yards to one kid running,
all up the gut.
Yeah, it's just a counter.
They had like 150 yards all year.
Right. But he resented the question. I love when coaches do that, by the way. You give up 700 yards of offense against somebody, and then somebody asks you about your defense. You're like, well, you know, listen, they had a bad day. And they're agitated. Yeah. Like, look, man.
Yeah, I don't think Diaz has the fire anymore right now. I think he's resigned to his fate. I might give it to Dabo. If Dabo gets blown out by Pitt,
ooh,
or, you know, a couple of these games here later, loses to Florida State, and he starts getting really tough questions, because he's still not – they're still at the point right now
where
people think they're going to turn it around. So he's still kind of getting the benefit of the doubt, just like Jimbo got in 2014, 2015.
But I think Dabo gets the benefit of the doubt at least for another year and a half.
Oh, no, nobody's talking about firing him.
No, but I'm just saying, like,
but if they get embarrassed.
Mullen's going to be feeling, like, outside pressure about, is my job starting to get – in jeopardy if we gave up 45 points to Georgia. And so he might be testy for another reason.
Well, and also he kind of wanted to get out anyhow. He wants an NFL job. But I would say this. If you wanted to piss Dabo off, start asking questions about the culture. Like, if you really wanted to get him agitated, start asking about the culture, because he takes such great pride in that. And he gets a little annoyed anytime it comes up anyhow. But if you start to ask him, like, well, what's going on here? We seem to have some infighting. And,
you know,
that he may be
fooled. Well, let's see how they look this week. They might go out and beat Pitt 37-7. And then, you know.
They got a different quarterback?
Hey, we'll see. We'll see.
Hello, gents. Ira, I'm glad you remembered this week. Ordered some registers. Should be here soon. I'll let you know my thoughts here in Oklahoma.
I already know your thoughts.
It's great.
You're going to love it.
Yeah.
Great job on the smash Sunday night, by the way, boys. I know JT can run, but his passing seems to have progressed as well. Is this what you guys were seeing during the preseason? Well, we certainly saw a better version of him as a thrower in the fall camp.
Yeah.
It didn't translate
once
the season started, but...
That's the thing. Like, part of me wants to go back and criticize how they handled the quarterbacks, and I think that's fair, and maybe they deserve it. But also, it wasn't like he was playing great. You know, they were moving the ball, and you made the point a lot of times, Corey. They did move the ball against Notre Dame. They scored some points. But it wasn't like he was looking. He was looking kind of like he had looked in the past.
Yeah, he hit a shot play, and then we had the long run.
That's why people were so mad at us. They're like, wait a minute, you guys said that this guy was going to be better. Well, he had looked better in the practice. And he had looked more comfortable.
Well, it's also like that's a hard defense. It's not an easy defense. And that safety made a couple of ridiculous plays.
Oh, yeah,
like, he's
no
awesome.
Doubt.
So to judge him about how he played against – I mean, Cincinnati's quarterback didn't put up 28 against Notre Dame, and he's supposed to be a good quarterback. So, but my point being, he never got a chance to build on that performance one way or the other because he didn't play the next week.
Yeah.
And then the week after that, he came in relief of Milton, played a little bit. Well, played most of the half, got a couple touchdowns, got hurt. So he didn't really get a chance to show if he had grown anything from the Notre Dame
game. I think we're having two different conversations, though. I agree, but he also still never looked comfortable in the pocket throwing the football.
Would you, Jeff, against that Notre Dame defense?
And rightfully so. Again, the offensive line started taking hits early in the season. They are getting better.
Yeah.
And I think this coaching staff's now kind of tailoring things a little bit more.
Without question they are, but I do think things have slowed down for him.
He might end up being a good quarterback, man.
That'd be
like
pretty cool.
Like, if he can take that next step and stay, like Dillingham talked about yesterday, like being poised in the pocket, staying in the pocket, trusting the pressure. If he can do that.
Here you go. Yeah. Chris writes, can you guys help me understand how Jordan Travis went from looking absolutely incompetent the first month to the best quarterback in the ACC versus North Carolina? And it can't be health-related because he missed practice that week as well and is always hurt anyhow. I just hope that performance wasn't a mirage.
Well, again, I take issue with incompetent. You don't – an incompetent quarterback doesn't put 28 up on Notre Dame. He just doesn't.
But you know what he's talking about, Corey. I get what you're saying, too. I think there's fair points to be made on both sides of this. He looked incompetent quarterback.
In the pocket, he did not look comfortable.
He looked incompetent.
Right. But again –
you can point to all the circumstances.
Yes, that's what
fair.
I'm saying.
But also, he's not an accurate thrower from the pocket. He hasn't been in his career.
Right.
From the they dial up shot plays, and he hits those.
Yeah.
But in terms of going through progressions, reading, staying calm, he hasn't looked good.
But you don't have to be that if you can run the
of
way
of course,
you, can
you don't have to be that. And if you're not that and you have this special gift, then cater to that.
Then
I
cater
agree.
To that.
Yeah.
And yes, you can win that way, Corey, to your point. But you know what he's saying because
number one,
that's
don't,
true.
Don't touch me again.
I'm just saying.
But
you know this.
But what I was going to say is like you also doesn't just because you don't do it against Notre Dame in the fifth
that
start of your career doesn't mean you can't be that person
doesn't
later
mean you
on
can't
in your career.
Better,
yeah,
certainly.
That's what
it's
I mean. And so this might just be reps and improvement and the O-line getting better. Now we'll see. I mean, Clemson's going to be a whole different animal. I doubt he's going to be looking like Tom Brady against that D either.
And I do think he was the way they handled the quarterback situation made it worse for him.
Yes.
You know, so that's, you know. And
he could have learned a lot in the Jacksonville State game. He could have gotten more comfortable.
I mean, having him out there, you know, the Jacksonville State game, then, you know, McKenzie gets introduced as a starter and the whole everybody's going crazy.
Yeah. He has the one series, makes a bad throw, and they boo, and then that's it. You know, they put him at tailback. Like, that just, they miscalculated that whole thing. We don't need to go back. It was a month ago. But I think maybe you're just seeing strides of somebody getting better.
And the reason we're saying that is that would explain maybe it's not a mirage. That maybe those circumstances were the bigger issue.
Oh, and we'll think all Knowles certainly hold out hope that he continues to show that kind of improvement.
But if he doesn't look good against Clemson, that doesn't mean he's terrible. Nobody looks good against Clemson. Yeah. Our man JT Daniels put up zero touchdowns against Clemson.
Schrader
looked like a normal man.
Looks like Marino.
He looked like just a pedestrian out there. So he might be getting better. And he might not put up 40 points against some of these teams because they're really good defensively.
Hey, fellas, Kenny Dillingham just gave his quote on potential. Who would you say is the FSU football player with the most potential who failed to reach it?
Of all time.
I guess that's all time.
You know who this has always stuck in my brain. Steve Ellis did a Q&A with Bowden like 2002, 2003, and he's like, what's the one player that you had that got away? Like, you had him and he didn't meet his accomplishments. He was going to be something great, and his career didn't work out. He said Robert Hammond. Do you remember
really?
That name?
Yeah,
the safety?
Yeah.
So he was a freshman on that 94 team.
Hammond,
he was the number one player in the country. He started at free safety as a freshman in 1994 at Florida State, and then never really did much, and then was out of the program in a year or two. So that might be a good one. I don't know. Fred Rouse, Randy Moss.
Well, yeah, and you're talking about legal issues and off-the-field problems. That's unfortunate. Well, certainly for Fred Rouse. Today's day and age, you would have never kicked Randy Moss off the team for a joint.
You would have given him a joint.
I would have happily supplied all the joints he wanted.
He could have been a spokesperson for a legal weed company.
I'd have been walking around with joints in my pocket just in case I ran into Randy Moss. but I'm just telling you, no chance that I would ever get. But who was the running back? You'll remember this, Corey, that was from Orlando. I think he later transferred to UCF.
Marquette Smith.
I always thought Marquette Smith had a chance to be great.
He was the USA Today player of the year.
He and Derek Brooks. Derek Brooks was defense player of the year. Marquette Smith was off. They both came to Florida State.
He thought 93, he was poised. He's like, I'm the backup to Sean Jackson. I'm going to get a lot of work. I'm really good. Who's this 28 guy that got back here? It doesn't matter. I'm going to be the second string. I'm going to get 150 carries. And Warrick Dunn is here.
He could have still had some sort of career, though. I thought he could have been
something.
I think
he saw Warrick Dunn, he's like, I'm not going to beat this guy out.
Yeah, but a guy that stayed like 4 or 5 years, and there was a lot of – Matthew Thomas? There was a lot. I mean,
that's a really good one because he even played in the league. Yeah. I mean, he just had – I don't think he played a ton in the league, but he had all that physical attributes.
Jimbo
he played a lot
him.
On that 2013
Jimbo loved
team
him
before
in a
he
way
got
that,
hurt.
I mean, it was the savior complex over again.
But he was also like the rush end in 2013. Mm-hmm. He'd bring him in on third and long to rush the passer as a freshman. That's how talented he was.
We'll come back into a few more questions and wrap it up. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
Nick writes, I think the ACC network finally did something good. Last night, I watched the best piece of original programming that the network has done. It was on Georgia Tech's 1990 title season. Do you guys think has anything to do with Jim Phillips? I would think in his goal to make the ACC more relevant, he would press ESPN to stop treating the ACC network like it's the redheaded stepchild to the SEC network.
No, I'm sure that has been in the works for longer than he's been the commissioner. But I think there'll be more of that. From what I heard there's been some changes at the ACC network level.
Less lacrosse?
Don't you do that?
To take it in a new direction. So now if the program's in the conference, if Clemson can get their act back together and the programs do well.
That's right. Clemson quits bringing this conference down.
Get
it together, Clemson. Hey, guys, love the show. I tune in every week. My question to you is, do you think we cover this week? Oh, my man. Can't remember the last time we opened as a 37-point favorite. Thanks, guys. Go Noles.
37, huh?
UMass is so bad. I mean, if you look them up, I don't need the Fremrow to tell me.
No.
The traditional statistics. Like,
right.
If you look at total offense, scoring offense, defense, rushing offense, defense, I mean, they're just awful.
It would be
one of the worst five in the country.
Don't you think it'd be not a great sign if they just kind of slopped their way through like a 40-20 win? Like, it would be really nice if they went out and pummeled this team, especially in the first half. Like,
go take care of
you
business.
Finally feel good about yourself. Your fans actually feel pretty good about you. The rest of the state is crumbling. I know you're playing the worst team in the country. Go win 70-6.
Well, they're not the worst team in the country because they did beat UConn.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing, Jacksonville State was unique from a couple standpoints. One is they had a quarterback who started his career at Clemson.
Right.
So, I mean, he's a little bit more capable of making those third down throws.
Jacksonville State would be favored significantly.
And Florida State's defense was kind of a mess at that point.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So it would be a very nice sign. We don't expect it to be a close game, but it's not just get out of there with a win, in my opinion. Don't win 28-11. Like, crush them.
If you win it big, it doesn't say
anything. 63-0, don't get crazy.
But if it's a sloppy game, that's a bad sign.
Yes.
Is this year's Georgia defensive line better than our 2018 offensive line was bad?
I'm going to say no. I don't know. Can you be worse?
Ooh, that Wake offensive line a few years ago, four years ago.
It was the 2014 one, actually.
That was
about as bad as it gets. I saw it in person. Actually, we got there early enough at Georgia to see the defensive linemen come out just in their regular cutoffs before they put on their pads, and they're different looking dudes, man. Jordan Davis that's a huge human being, and he's not the best guy on their defensive line. I think the Carter kid is, but they're good everywhere.
Sean writes, like Ira, I enjoy a good losing coach press conference.
Oh, they're awesome.
And boy, how much do you think Dan Mullen hates Edgar? That man was relentless after the game.
Anytime
after a loss where you felt like you should have kept asking a question until you got an honest answer.
Was he? I think he was the one that kept asking about Anthony Richardson. Mm-hmm. Like, why aren't? Well, I don't understand. Explain to us here.
Good God, Dan!
Seems like
what are you looking
plays.
At? Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I mean, the thing is that you can keep belaboring a point after a game,
and
but
you also
you get them 2 days later, right. And you can. That's a better time, in my opinion, to belabor it than the 12 minutes right after a game you get them when you get 30 minutes on Monday, but maybe like. The Jimbo decision to start Clint Trickett against Wake, maybe I should have been like, well, wait, take me back again. Like, you said you were only going to use him in a case of emergency. So
what changed?
Is it just,
trailing?
The fact you were is being behind an emergency? Because if you're going to put him in down by 7, why not put him in when you're tied 0-0? That would have been one I could have examined more. But other than that, I feel like we hash out the stuff we need to hash out.
And a lot of times we ask them stuff on Monday, like time management stuff or decisions about,
defensive alignment maybe on the last play of a game.
But, he was never going to cop to anything.
Well, by the way, gibberish. A couple times they were just gibberish. Yeah. And I asked him, and I did belabor the 4th-and-1 play that he told me.
He said it was 4th-and-3.
He said it was 4th-and-3. And I went, well, no, we saw it was 4th-and-1. He's like, no, Jeff, that was 4th-and-3. And then the two of us sat there silently, which was awkward. And then what are you going to do, fight? So it's kind of like,
all right,
my man.
Arm wrestle time.
Let's look at this. I'm telling you, that's a yard. That's not 3. It sits right over there.
Yeah.
The whole stadium knew it
but
was
also,
a yard.
But also, 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2, 4th-and-3, what does it matter? Ricky Aguayo is your kicker, man. Go for it. Go for it.
Yeah,
you play North Carolina. It's a terrible defense. Go try to win the game.
A lot of questions about Jimbo's press conference. We got a ton of those. People enjoy those. Assuming a definitive win against UMass, what would you anticipate the spread being against Clemson?
12. Well, it depends on what Clemson does, too, right? Like, if Clemson goes out and looks terrible against Pitt,
it could be single digits.
Yeah.
If Clemson goes out and hammers Pitt, then I think we
might
be
back up to 16 or 17 again.
Significant underdog.
Man, how great is it? Because, after what happened last year, Dabo wanted to beat Mike Norvell in Florida State.
Hey, man,
it could happen.
Yet. Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm just saying,
the way things look.
Look, right now, it's not what he was hoping when he finally got his chance to play Florida State.
Jared writes, I think we beat UMass Miami in one of BC or NC State. What percentage do we have to upset Clemson or Florida in order to get to 6 wins?
I think I mean, to win
Clemson's
one of those
33%.
I was going to say to win one of those games, I think it's 35 to 40%.
My CPI index is 33 at Clemson and probably 20 at Florida, maybe 15 at Florida.
Here's a concern for you. What if Dab? What if Clemson's been struggling because Dabo's been spending all this time
preparing for Florida State.
To hang 100.
Yeah, he's about to release the Mustangs.
Part of the problem is the matchup against Clemson. We understand that Florida State may be able to slow this offense down in a way that we didn't expect.
Slow it down.
But I'm not real sure how Florida State's going to score a lot of points against Clemson. Blocking them is going to be a bit of a problem.
You're going to have to block a kick, maybe.
So your problem then becomes like what you want to do with Jordan Travis, you simply can't do. And then if they're going to force him to throw it.
Well, you got to, hey, just have your receivers go make plays. Have your receivers go make some plays.
Clemson could definitely win that game with defense.
Yeah. Well, and they could have a pick six. They could have a strip sack and a fumble.
I'm going to put that as a pretty low percentage, 20% chance maybe that they beat Clemson. And I'd put the same against Florida because I don't think we block Florida either. The mentality matters and whether or not. Yeah, listen.
I think Florida State right now is a better team than Georgia Tech was 4 weeks ago, and Georgia Tech lost that game 14-8. If you play well and don't turn it over, you'll have a chance.
You have a chance in the second half. Yeah.
How wonderful is it that we're even having these conversations?
Yeah, man. I wasn't even going to watch the game.
I know.
Four weeks ago, I wasn't going to go. I wasn't even going to watch.
We were going to Biloxi.
That's right.
I mean, that was it. We weren't even going to be at the game or watch it at all. Right.
Stephanie texted me, by the way, and she said that she was drunk at most of those Yale practices. And
I would have
did
been
think
crying
it was,
at those practices. I would have been weeping.
Like, she did say
it was perverse.
She didn't like being judged, but it was very creepy. That video was very, very creepy.
What if, like, she just started calling the kids, like, hey, can I get your parents' number? Like, she's trying to stage interventions.
Yeah. What are we doing, everybody?
You need to get Robbie out of here. You wouldn't believe what he's doing. Look at this video.
Yeah, look at this video. He's slapping his shoulders.
He's slapping his knees.
We can deprogram him.
Yeah, he's saying and all that nonsense.
Emphasizing nonsense. Everybody's very frightened. We're going to have to get him.
Children of the corn.
It's not a good situation. Last week, you guys said you don't know how people go from 1 to 3 kids with twins. Well, what if I told you a story about going from 1 to 3 and then deciding we wanted one more, how hard could one baby be after having twins, only to end up going from 3 to 5?
Let's go.
And then Scott writes, we'll see you soon, Dr. Birch.
there you go.
How about having twins back to back?
Woo!
At least you're more prepared for the second set, but... I mean, congratulations. It's a blessing.
Blessings.
It sounds like a flipping nightmare. It sounds like an absolute horrific nightmare. Every day is a besiege of your senses.
I understand.
Five kids, Ira?
It's a blessing.
Five kids?
It's a blessing.
And four of them are the same age?
Having to care for so many people beyond yourself has got to be so difficult.
I can't even imagine. They all get up at different times. They all go to bed at different
times. The
horror.
Oh, my gosh. These bastards. What are they doing?
They're all going to want to eat.
Yeah.
It fills your heart up.
They want you to love them.
I mean, you can do that. You can love them, but it fills your heart up. I get it.
You have to tell them.
There's
got to
be, I'd say, 60% of the nights you go to bed weeping. You just go to bed weeping.
Or you're
like,
overjoyed by your good fortune that you have five healthy kids.
That's another option.
That's another way of looking at it.
Good
Brady,
job.
I love you. I love you, Brady. You weren't hard at all to raise.
But we're never having another one, Brady. He's telling you that,
too. Yeah, we learned our lesson.
All right. Good job, Matthew. And for Corey and Ira, I'm Jeff. Thanks to all of you. Until next time, go to Olds. We'll talk to you soon. Be well.